December 8th, 1980, a date which has lived in infamy for 30 years. Santa Claus was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the Easter Bunny. Irma St. Clair, school teacher.
It's cliche to say you recall exactly where you were when world events happen, but that morning in December, I was in teacher's college then, having breakfast in my apartment when the report came on the television. I dropped my spoon in my bowl and just stared for the longest time. They say Cap'n Crunch doesn't get soggy. It did that day.
Maurice Greenfield, garbage man.
The Dakota was part of my route. Police had that hotel taped off for a block in every direction. We weren't getting in there that morning. It was NYC in the 80s. We knew a murder when we saw one. But to get that kind of police attention, the press was all over the place. I would assume it was the mayor, except people was crying. Ain't nobody I know ever cry over a mayor.
Sanjay Sin, taxi driver.
At the time, I had only been in the country 8 months, and even I understood the significance of Santa Claus. I knew that this country, so new to me, would be forever changed.
It had snowed a little bit that night, on and off. People milled out front of the Dakota Hotel despite the cold. They hoped for just a quick glance of this almost mythic figure. Maybe he'd stick his head out the window and wave. Maybe, just maybe, he'd even stop to sign an autograph and shake a hand before taking a limo somewhere into the city for dinner. Alexander Gorman was the doorman on duty that night.
We were used to the crowds, so was he. He'd never take the back exit out of the hotel. Often he'd be in a rush and duck into a taxi, but he'd never hide. The guy was bigger than Jesus. He couldn't hide if he wanted to.
Do you remember seeing the Easter Bunny that night?
Definitely. It was the Easter Bunny after all. He was a celebrity in his own right, but we'd get all kinds of famous people around here. Some of them were even trying to meet Mr. Claus, but compared to St. Nick, the Easter Bunny was nothing. A lot of the people there waiting barely paid attention to him, except at one point, it was one of the very few times some kid saw the Easter Bunny, started talking to him. That's when Mr. Claus got out of the taxi and went into the hotel. The bunny never noticed. Found out afterwards and he looked confused. Who knows what might have happened had he seen him there.
Indeed, that was the case. For years, he had been hearing voices. Voices he referred to as the little people. Voices he felt godlike dominion over. Even the Easter Bunny himself admitted the little people begged him not to do it. It seems even his delusions knew that it was a bad idea. An evil idea.
Evil? Yes, evil does exist in this world. It's in a private cell in Attica State Pen.
For his own protection, he has been kept in a high-security private wing in Attica Correctional Facility in Buffalo, New York. He has been eligible and denied parole 5 times since his incarceration. Mrs. Claus.
I have written a letter to the parole board every 2 years since 2000. Each time he has been up for parole, I don't think I need to discuss its content. Any person who has ever lost a loved one in a cool room can understand. In this case, the entire world had lost someone.
Naturally, Mr. and Mrs. Claus had met the Easter Bunny many times before that December night. When they met him outside their hotel that evening, they greeted him graciously. Though surprised to see him at that particular moment, they were even more surprised when he asked Mr. Claus to autograph some Christmas paraphernalia.
I was at my station by the door. The bunny was nearby reading that book by that recluse. What's his name? Zeus? The Grinch.
The Grinch who stole Christmas?
That's the one.
The Easter Bunny had become obsessed with the Grinch who stole Christmas. He saw himself as the disillusioned character, and when given the opportunity to speak for himself in court, he quoted an excerpt from the book.
They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They'll wake up. I know just what they'll do. The mouths will hang open a minute or two, then the who's down in Whoville will cry, Boho!
I read he went all the way to Atlanta to get the ammo off some friend. Crazy or not, that's premeditation if I ever heard of it.
The Easter Bunny made that trip in October. In November, he flew to Hawaii and told his wife that he had been obsessed with killing Santa Claus, though he had come to his senses and snapped out of it, that he was better now. On December 6th, he flew to New York City. On the morning of December 8th, the Easter Bunny left his hotel and purchased a copy of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Inside, he wrote, "This is my statement," and signed it Grinchy. Then he made his way to the Dakota Hotel. The following audio was taken from the security camera of the Dakota Hotel. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey! Santa!
Those five gunshots echoed around the world and have continued to reverberate throughout time. No one is quite sure what his motives were then. Jealousy? Insecurity? Mental and emotional distress? What we can be certain of are the scars that may never be healed.
I drive through the city during the holidays and see these men dressed in red. I find them very haunting.
We still celebrate Christmas at my house, though I know a lot of people who don't. We don't pretend he come down the chimney no more.
They still show Christmas specials on TV. Students come to class and ask me about Santa Claus, ask why he was killed. Each year the children ask me, and each year I struggle to answer them.
Santa Claus was stolen from this world nearly 30 years ago. For a lot of people, it still feels like yesterday. For one person more so than anyone else, this rings especially true.
I have this dream sometimes. It's early morning and streaks of pink and purple are creeping over the horizon, tinging the clouds in the black sky with a warm promise of a new day. I slide out of bed, step into my slippers, and drape a shawl over my shoulders and go downstairs. By the kitchen door, I see a pair of black boots resting in a puddle of freshly melted snow, and above them, that big old red jacket of his hanging off a hook. I smile at the sight and walk into the sitting room. I catch him placing the last of my presents under the tree, and he turns to me, cheeks blazing red, eyes shining with love. And I wake up, and I remember there will never be Christmas again.
So this is Christmas.